Merkel Media.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Look, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tech Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Steve Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison? Swangles in Fort Lauderdale.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
I think it'd be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you're watching us on Rockfin or Rumble or listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks a million. We appreciate the support. If you want to connect with me, the brand new website is macroaggressions.io. You can go there and find out everything you need to know about the books and the podcasts and all that good stuff. Social media information is there as well. If you haven't rated the show already, I would certainly appreciate it. I don't really care too much personally, but as an algorithm, they like it when you give the show 5 stars and maybe write a little review about it. So if you think we've earned it, we certainly would appreciate it. You can scroll to the bottom of your podcast player and do it in like 5 seconds, and I would appreciate it. And thanks to our sponsor, solarpowerlifestyle.com is the place to go if you've got an interest in anything solar power related. They were so nice. They sent me a 25 watt 3-panel portable solar panel right here. It's fantastic. You can fold it up, you can put it in your car, you can put it in your bug out bag. You can have it in your closet if you need it. It's like $80, you know, reasonable price. There's a lot going on over there. They have small ones, medium-sized ones, even big ones. If you want to fit it for your entire house, you can do that. And we certainly do like to support shows that are fans of this show. So solarpowerlifestyle.com is the place to go. Just take a look. See what you think. If you find something you like on your way out, when you check out, the discount code is macro. That'll save you some money. And we certainly do need that these days. And also thanks to Tim James and the crew at Chemical Free Body. No exaggeration, no bullshit at all. 5 minutes before I walked in and started recording this, I reordered a new batch of Chemical Free Body. It is on its way. I must confess, I was poor on my planning. I got a little behind myself and I have run out. So I am going to be without it for the next 3 days. If you don't hear from me or if I curl up into a ball and die, you'll know why. It was green 85 withdrawals. That's probably not really a thing, but if you go to chemicalfreebody.com, you can read up about what green 85 is. It's really about the easiest thing in the world to incorporate into your life. It's just a scoop of green powder. You mix it up with 12 ounces of water and drink it in the morning. That's it. That's it. That's all it takes. It's real easy to do. And they have other items as well. If you want to do the detox bundle, you can do that. It'll pair gut detox, toxin detox, ultra enzymes, and probiotics with your Green 85. And all those are just capsules. You just take them in the morning, and that's a 90-day program. So give it a shot. I've done it twice. Tremendous results. Some results may vary. I don't know. Maybe your results will be better than mine, but it did a number on me, man. So if you are so inclined, if you are in a position where you think that you're now going to take control of your health and really nobody's coming to save you on that front, it's going to have to be you. Go to chemicalfreebody.com and read up about it. See what you think. You've met Tim. He's been on the show more than anybody else. Because every time he comes on, he's got logical steps for how to improve your health. And changing his diet saved his life. And it might do the same for you if you are somebody that's in a bad way or somebody that's just looking to optimize for yourself. Go to chemicalfreebody.com. Discount code is macro. Well, this is going to be an episode that comes out of... Well, you know, listen. I mean, if you're online, it mostly happens online. You come across, especially in social media posts, though it's not limited to that. These days, the mainstream media is just as dumb as the social media. But if you're on social media, you'll see things that defy logic and reason and intelligence, right? You'll go, God, it is almost impossible to be that stupid, right? You think that all the time. At least I think that all the time. And yet here we are having the discussion. Now, I understand some of those accounts are bots and they're not real and they're paid to make you insane. And on some level, I'm sure they're doing a very good job of that. But there is a sliding scale of intelligence, as we know. But what's interesting is that it's become like taboo to point this out. Like, I mean, we see it. We recognize it daily, right? Multiple times a day. You see something, you go, that guy's never going to make that turn, or he's never going to pet. She's trying to park in that space. Good luck with that. You know, whatever it is, you see people during the course of your day and you just go, how are you making that calculation? Like, how can you not see that this is going to end poorly? And you just have to kind of let it play out. So I wanted to talk about this a little bit because some of it is very subjective. Intelligence is very subjective, right? I mean, you can score high on tests, but that doesn't measure a lot of other things. It doesn't measure heart and desire and effort. It doesn't know where you came from, and it can't show you like how big of a improvement you've made. And maybe you look like a dummy compared to some people, but you're like, compared to the rest of the people in my family, I'm a fucking genius. You know what I mean? So it's always tough when you start talking about putting a score on intelligence, because intelligence comes in so many different shapes and sizes, and lack of intelligence comes in those shapes as well. And we see that all the time. It's funny. Can we be honest? Dumb people are funny. They're funny. I mean, they're annoying and they get in the way and you wish they were elsewhere. But if you can't find the humor in really stupid people, you're missing out on life, a portion of life that's so, oh boy, it's just low hanging fruit, right? I remember just sitting around, you know, you just sit around with your buddies or watching TV or something, just talking. And you have these conversations where you rip on each other and then you rip on other people and you understand that there's a bit of a playfulness about this, right? And you can call your friend a dumb fuck and they're not going to be like, he hurt my feelings. You know, I mean, like there's a certain level of playfulness with this, you know? And I always try to keep that in the back of my mind. Like I always, my default is set to like, I'm just about to crack up laughing at how stupid somebody is, right? But it is also a fact that really stupid people can be dangerous, okay? And fuck, we're watching it right now in the aviation industry, right? We're seeing the diversity push. We're seeing the DEI push where everybody's stunning and brave and everybody can fly a plane. No, not everybody can fly a plane. Not everybody can build a plane. Not everybody can perform maintenance on planes. Wheels aren't supposed to fall off. Doors aren't supposed to fall off. Planes aren't supposed to land in fields. You know, all of that stuff is not good. And a lot of that is happening because the requirements have been lowered because, you know, this is just a time and era of stunning bravery where everybody, you know, where we need equal outcomes, They think that everybody is capable of giving you the best outcome. It's just not true. Some people are better at things than others. Some people are smarter than others. Some people are more naturally gifted than other people. There's nothing wrong with that. Find what you're good at and be proud of that you're naturally good at this thing, or that you've worked really hard to make yourself better in a certain area, or you know, I mean, there's room for improvement. But this concept that everybody deserves, you know, that we need, it's gone beyond equal opportunity. Like, everybody has the opportunity to try out for the Los Angeles Lakers, but equal outcomes? Why? Why? You're going to put a 5'5" Filipino guy on the Lakers because they don't have any Filipino representation? You're going to lose. Every time that guy is on the floor, he's going to get dunked on, right? You're going to lose. So where is your line in the sand? Where does the outcome become more important than the lead up to it? Are you trying to make everybody happy? Do you get brownie points for having the Filipino guy on the Lakers? Do you get an extra draft pick because of that? You're going to need it because you're going to be in last place. So I wanted to get into this, the mystery of intelligence, because in some cases, there is no mystery. It's rather obvious. And then yet in other aspects of it, boy, it really is kind of strange when you see somebody that comes out of a situation that really, I mean, everything is lined up against them, and yet they excel. So there's something to be said for desire and the immeasurables, you know, the things that you can't put a score on. And I want to talk about a lot of that. Some of these things, some intelligence is easy to quantify and some is not. And geography matters and luck helps. And parents that care for their kids are probably the most important part of this whole thing. I mean, that can really screw up your brain development. Some of it's physical, some of it's environmental, some of it are the friends that you hang out with, some of it's the country you're born into, the language that you speak, and your geography too. So it can be dumb luck. You know, I'm born as a white male in the United States. Some would say, boy, you won the lottery by that, right? Maybe. I mean, maybe. I'm certainly not complaining about it, but I don't know what it's like to be anything else, right? So I'm just doing the best with what I've got, and I assume that everyone, I assume that everyone's doing the best with what they got, but you know what? In fact, some people are doing the best with what they've got, and some people have mailed it in, man. Some people have given up on life. They've given up on education. It was never even a thing in their families. But we have to admit that luck plays a certain component in this, for sure. I mean, you could be born with cerebral palsy, right? And that is a very unlucky thing to do. And by the way, we need safety nets for people that are born unlucky. I have a ton of compassion for people that are just, by no fault of their own, in a really bad situation. Life dealt them a very different hand than most people. We have to take care of those people. I'm not, you know, we have to be compassionate. We have to lift those people up and make sure that they're not left behind, because that's the right thing to do. And that's what we should be doing. But my compassion goes away when you choose to be stupid. My compassion goes away when it's not the universe that dealt you a bad hand, but you are out there playing three card Monty, losing all the time, can't figure it out, never bothered to figure out the game, and just go, oh, life is rigged against me. Well, for some people, life is rigged against them. Very much so. And for those people that are able to overcome those, the rigged game that they were born into, tremendous respect for them. You know, anybody that can get out of some of these situations, you're born in a real poor country where literacy rates are very low. You crawl out of that. You teach yourself to read. You work your ass off. You get out of that. Well, that's a person that's an inspirational person. But there's others that have been institutionalized, that have been trained to sit around and wait for a handout, wait for the government to tell them what to think or what to do, or here's your monthly money or whatever. And for those people, I have zero respect for them. And I think that, you know, when you have access to food and shelter and education and healthcare, this raises the probability of success quite substantially. So I'm not here to say, to shit on people that are born in bad situations. Quite the opposite. I hope that they're able to rise above their current predicament and excel. Because I do want opportunities for everybody. But I'm not delusional. I'm not here to pretend that everyone's going to have equal outcomes. Equal opportunities? Sure. You want to apply for that job as a nuclear physicist? Absolutely. Submit your resume. But if you're not a major in physics or something along those lines, you're not allowed to act surprised when you don't get the job, right? This is called life. This is logic. And you don't get to protest, and you don't get to go on social media and say that you were dumb shamed by this. They wouldn't hire me to be a nuclear physicist at Los Alamos. And I have a 2-year degree from the Barbizon Beauty School. And I feel like I should, they didn't hire me because of the color of my skin. No, they didn't hire you because you're fucking unqualified. All right. Stop it. And there's a lot of people out there that are unqualified, and they're the last people to figure it out. And we're going to have some fun with that. But I'm going to talk about the science behind this. I'm going to talk about what's really going on. I'm going to talk about the education system, which I know we've talked about quite a bit. Some of this is measurable. Some of it gets better with the education system. Some of it is natural. You've either got it or you don't. And some of it is learned behavior. So let's talk about this, because IQ points, intelligence quotient, that's what it stands for those of you with low IQs, just kidding. The IQ went up about 3 points per decade for a century. 30 points. Over the last 100 years or so, IQ points have been going up, up, up for 100 years. Now, the different 30 points is two standard deviations away in IQ. Okay. So you're talking about a massive transformation. I know if you don't know what the point system means, you don't know what 30 points is. It's not like you went up 30%. It's like you went up 200% from where you were. I mean, it's a massive jump. The difference between 80 and an IQ of 80 and an IQ of 110 is that 80 puts you on the cusp of retardation, and 110 puts you in high average. You're still average, but you're on the very high end of average. You're just about to break off into actually smart. So it's literally the difference between being borderline retarded and being pretty smart. So, and that's what's happened in the last 100 years. Except, .. There's a problem, and you might have figured it out. IQ points have started going down. I know you're standing there shocked and surprised, right? Just kidding. Yeah, you've been on Twitter. And I recognize most of the people on there are bots. But for those that are human beings, what is your explanation, man? You're supposed to be 30 points higher than everybody. So, but if you've got these things, if you've got these core components that a lot of people don't have, billions of people don't have, food, shelter, education, a form of healthcare, that raises the probability of success and a higher measurable intelligence. Okay. If you've got those things, you're on the right track. If you don't have those things, food, shelter, education, and healthcare, your development early on is going to be stunted. And then, unfortunately, what happens is that at a certain age level, it gets kind of the clay pot stops being moldable, and it gets put in the furnace and it comes out hardened, right? At some point, you're working with what you're working with. And if in the early years you are deprived of food and shelter and education and healthcare, you're going to have an uphill battle just to get back to like a baseline level. But it can be done, and it is done all the time. So for those people that were born in bad situations, can't give up because things could change. And by the way, inversely, a lot of people born with food, shelter, education, and healthcare, and their IQ is going down. You know, it's going way down for a variety of reasons. And so the ability to excel is out there. You just need to navigate yourself around the world and figure out how to do it. Nobody's going to take care of you. If you go to government schools thinking they're going to teach you how to excel, you're fooling yourself. That's not what they're there for. They're there to give you, to keep you within the parameters of what's acceptable thought, but they're definitely not there to help you. And part of the reason, and listen, not everybody thinks like you do too, right? We make this calculation that, oh, because this is the way I think, like I'm very logical about the way I approach things. And I make the mistake of transposing that and putting that on other people and making the assumption that because I'm logical when it comes to facing a problem or sorting out a situation, that they are as well. That is a miscalculation on my part. And I do it all the time. And I'm always disappointed when it doesn't work well. And then I have to go, well, you're making, you're expecting things that you shouldn't maybe be expecting because everybody comes at this a little bit differently. And as an aside, and I want to credit Josh Walkos for this, his post, because his post was out there and I read it and it cracked me up because I'd been thinking the same thing. It was something along the lines of, I'm still trying to process the fact that some people don't have an inner monologue. And he put that in a tweet, and it was a tweet about a story that had come out like a month or so ago. And I remember reading that, or I don't even know if it was a story so much as just kind of like a topic that wound up making the rounds, that people were like, what are you talking about, inner monologue? Like, you hear yourself thinking? That's got to make you crazy. And people were like, whoa, wait a second. You mean you don't have that? And they're like, I don't know what you're talking about. So it became this sort of like epiphany for a lot of people, myself included. And my assumption is Josh Walkos included as well. You can find him on Twitter, Champagne Josh. He's fantastic. There must have been a bunch of us who just went, wait a second, you don't have an inner monologue either? Now, I want to be crystal clear. I'm not saying that if you don't have an inner monologue, you're dumb or an NPC or anything like that. You're not. You're not at all. You might be, but that doesn't make you one. It just means that you process information differently, right? And that you have to be careful of mistaking, like, you don't process like I process, therefore you're dumb. And that gets you into some weird territory where you definitely don't want to be doing that. But I thought it was interesting that many, many people were, myself included, were shocked about the inner monologue thing. Like, I hear my thoughts all day long, which I might, you know, thank God I don't verbalize them. My wife would murder me in 2 seconds if she had to hear my thoughts all day long too. But you work out conversations. I would say this, they would say that, I would retort with this. Or in my case, I put together podcasts and shows like this. You know, how is this all going to sound? I'm thinking it out. I'm role playing it or testing it in my head. I'm running it through multiple filters to figure out how I feel about certain things. But there is a constant monologue going on in my head, constantly. Not in a institutionalized for your own safety sort of way, but maybe not too far away from it, I guess. I mean, and on the right drugs, probably for sure. But it just enlightened you to the fact that not everybody thinks the same way. Yeah, you have the same kind of hardware in there, and everybody's brain's calibrated a little bit differently. Some have more intellectual horsepower than others. Some have the ability to play music and speak multiple languages. That never gets measured really in like SAT scores. Maybe in the verbal, but like, it doesn't get measured in IQ tests and things like that. It's really hard to quantify that. That's a level of intelligence that I aspire to have. People that are really handy with stuff that can, like, oh, I'm going to go out and build an addition onto my house. I look at that and go, holy shit, you can do that? Or, oh, I'm going to go play, I'm going to look at this song I just wrote. I'm like, oh my God, that's magic to me, right? Like I look at, you could give me all day long with a guitar and I would never come up with that. Or you could give me a hammer, a box of nails and all the wood I would ever need. You would not want to live in the addition to the house that I built. So some people have better skills. Some people think of things differently. But look, there are some people out there that are unable to comprehend concepts. And when you run across those people that have an impossible time understanding concepts such as hypotheticals or averages or, you know, what a woman is, you start to make some calculations. You go, oh, hang on a second. This person isn't just coming at this from a different angle from me. This person doesn't understand the concept of a hypothetical. You know, you can come on here and you can say, statistically speaking, we're going to get into all this, you know, statistically speaking, Black people score on the lowest on these IQ tests. Right? It's a bad thing to say. I mean, it's the fact in here. And we're going to get to all these stats. And you, if you were to have a conversation with somebody and say, statistically speaking, on average, it goes Asian, white, Hispanic, Black. And you have this conversation with somebody, and so the person, this is how you can tell they're dumb. The person will say, well, I know a Black guy who's really smart. And you go, that's not what I'm talking about. We're talking about averages. Yeah, but I know, I went to school with this guy and he's Black and he's really smart. Yeah, I did too. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about averages. That's when you take a bunch of people and figure out a number and you know, you add it all, then divide by the number of people and you get an average number. And the averages show that this is the ranking. You will meet people that cannot understand that concept. They cannot understand averages and hypotheticals. And when you're talking to those people, you're talking to people that have a diminished mental capacity for concepts. Doesn't mean that they're necessarily dumb for the world. Like, you ain't old for the world. You're just too old to be coming in this club. You know what I mean? You're not dumb for the world. You're just too dumb to have this conversation because you clearly cannot understand the concept of the law of averages. This isn't even really difficult. This is something you should pick up. But when you run across people like that, you make this calculation. You go, oh, I know who I'm talking to, right? And then the conversation is different after that because you realize you can't make the same. You're not dealing with baseline level intelligence that you're used to dealing with, where someone you can have a conversation about averages and people don't go, aren't fitting you for a white hood or something like that. You know what I mean? And listen, not for nothing, but like many of these people are mainstream consumers of information, mainstream news, mainstream music, mainstream movies, mainstream beliefs, whatever the new thing is. They've got the Ukrainian flag. They've got the Israeli flag. They're standing, you know, they're Black Lives Matter. And whatever the new thing is, they're in it because they're that herd, that easily movable herd. And look, many of these people, if you run across a person that can't understand hypotheticals and averages, you're probably dealing with an NPC. And for those that don't know what an NPC is in the video gaming world, there's something called a non-player character. Let's say you're in a role-playing game, you're in it's the compute. It's you're one of the characters, and you might be in a multiplayer situation where you're playing against other people online, and those people are real people playing their characters. But then there's just some prepackaged people that are thrown into the video game for whatever reason. Maybe it's like a SimCity situation and there's people wandering around. It's not you. It's computer people. They look like you. They maybe interact like you. But there's nothing going on upstairs. And there's a lot of them out there in real life. In real life, there's a lot of people. They have been severed. Their divine spark has been severed, right? Like they just, there's no there. And again, as we move through this this episode, we're going to talk, we're really going to talk numbers because I, you know how I like them. So let's talk about this. Let's talk about some of the causes of this, some of the causes of cognitive decline, because like I said, IQ points have been going up for a century and now they're not. There's a reason for that. Did we peak intellectually as a species? I don't think so. I think there's still room to grow, and I'm not talking about transhumanism and adding brain chips. I'm talking about just there's room for us to grow. We're not even, we're untapped at this point. So causes of cognitive decline over this the last few years that are leading to this lowering of IQ, which, by the way, if it's showing up now, it means it started decades ago, and it's just starting to manifest itself because it's got to ramp up a little bit. So causes, fluoride in the water. Provable IQ reducer. It is a neurotoxin. Sodium fluoride is a neurotoxin. It's rat poisoning. It's the byproduct of making and manufacturing aluminum. Edward Bernays, you can get into the whole story of how they made, how they turned fluoride from an industrial waste product, which was the byproduct of the manufacturing of aluminum. And companies like Alcoa are filled with all this, like, how are we going to get rid of all this sodium fluoride? They bring in Edward Bernays. And he says, industrial waste, you want to pay, you can't pay to, you have to pay to get rid of this stuff? No. What we'll do is we'll convince people it's good for their teeth. And then everybody's got to have it because it's good for their teeth. They're like, it's a fucking poison. He's like, it doesn't matter. You think it matters? We'll tell everyone it's good for their teeth. And then we'll add it to the water supply. And then municipalities will not just take, you won't have to pay to have your sodium fluoride poison disposed of. We'll have municipalities buy it from you. We'll turn it into a moneymaker for you. And fluoride has been added to the water supply. Note to self, get Derek Bros back on here. I've been talking to him. He was covering the fluoride lawsuit. It's a fact. It's a neurotoxin. It lowers your IQ. It's not up for debate. It's not conspiracy theory. It's none of that stuff. It's fact, okay? And they're going through, they just went through the lawsuits now for it. It's been added to the water for a very long time. The reason why it's added to the water in the United States, besides Edward Bernays, is that during Operation Paperclip, when they brought a bunch of the Nazi scientists over, they were asking the Americans, how much fluoride do you guys put in the water? And they're like, what? And he's like, well, we put it in the water back in Germany because it makes the people very docile and easily controllable and dumb. And they're like, we've never even heard, and this is about the same time Bernays is working on doing his work. I think he was working on it a little earlier, but then next thing you know, it's added to all the water because it's for your teeth. Now, let me ask you a question. Do you think that the government of the United States of America gives a flying fuck about the quality of your dental situation? Do you think so? Do you think Joe Biden cares about your teeth? Of course not. It's a lie, like many of the other lies. And it's been used to keep people dumb and controllable for a long, long time. It's not the only thing. It's not like a magic potion. This is cumulative. This is something that builds on itself. This is one component. This is not going to lower your IQ 30 points. It's going to lower your IQ 3 points, right? We need every point we can get. It's going to lower it. So keep your eye on it. Lead paint, mold. Poor diet. We've talked about that. If you're, you know, giving your kids Cheetos and stuff like that when they're 2 years old, good luck to you. They're going to grow up. Their brains aren't, their minds need to be developing at that. They need the right fuel for that. They need the right nutrition. They can't be filled with a poor diet. It's very important to have parents in the home that are good parents too. And let me rephrase, good parents in the home, that helps. Interaction with your kids, early education. You've got to have early education, a lack of early education. And I'm not talking about schooling necessarily. I'm talking about play, blocks, reading, letters, social interaction, a lot of that stuff. That early education and that mixing in with other people, the societal development, does a lot, listening to music, things like that, going outside, getting fresh air, going on walks, all of that stuff is important. Without it, you can find yourself in cognitive decline. Government schools are destroying your ability to think, because they don't teach you how to think. They teach you what to think. And that's a huge problem. So, and we'll get to that a little bit. Look, vaccines. You know, I'm not ever going to shy away from this. It's a delicate topic. I know a lot of people get very, it's very polarizing, but vaccines are extremely dangerous. If you don't think they are, read my Octopus of Global Control book. I bring it all in that. And it's very damaging. Alcohol, hard drugs, abuse of those will lower cognitive functions. Watching too much mainstream media, it just makes you dumb. It makes you dumb. Too many pharma drugs in conjunction with the vaccines. All of these things. These are like, it's death by a thousand paper cuts to your IQ, because it's not so much that any one of these takes you from 110 to 80. It takes you down 3 points, and then something else takes you down 3 points, and then something else takes you down 3 points. And the next thing you know, you're just in a herd with a bunch of other people, and nobody can figure it out. So I have a quote from Dr. Russell Blaylock in my Octopus book. He's a neurosurgeon, and he's talking about like the overall cognitive decline of the American people. He says it's just a big malaise of people, just a big mass of people that are unable to excel at anything. And so because they're unable to excel, they look to the government, to the state, to help them. And the state actually likes that relationship because it keeps them relevant. So you have to understand this. The state wants you to be pretty dumb, because if you're pretty dumb, you're dumb enough to recognize that you still think you need the state. It's not until you get like, you elevate yourself, as Blaylock says, then there's a certain percentage of the population that is of high IQ that is up above it and can see the whole thing. You know, he never mentions what high IQ necessarily means, but just enough that you're up above the herd and you can see it all unfolding. And it's a good point. So when they took a look at what was causing these, the drop recently in IQ, they found three categories. And here's what they are. The first is verbal reasoning. Verbal reasoning had declined. And that is comprised of two components, logic and vocabulary. Logic, like men can get pregnant. Vocabulary, like mumble rappers. Okay. We have dropped in verbal reasoning because our logic is lower than it used to be. And you go, well, show me some examples of that. Well, how about the Supreme Court justice who can't tell you what a woman is and insists that men can get pregnant? What about that? Would that be a departure from logic? Because it is to me. There's 175 different genders out there. You're illogical. And you're losing your ability for verbal reasoning. IQ's dropped in this category. And also vocabulary. Vocabulary. Interesting that that's a factor in this as well. As we find ourselves in a George Orwell situation with Newspeak. It's the only language in the world that's getting smaller, not larger, right? We're in a world now where they're trying to control our vocabulary. They're trying to control what we can and can't say. Did you know that in the United States House of Representatives, the words that are used to describe a family are now prohibited? Mother, father, brother, son, grandfather, grandmother, aunt, uncle, sister, all that stuff. You can't say it in the House of Representatives. They have removed those words. You are no longer allowed to use those words. You're allowed to identify as cake gender if you'd like, but you're not allowed to use the term mother. So they're destroying our logic and they're destroying our vocabulary. That is a measurable observation. That is happening right out in the wild. Just go out there and see for yourself. The second category in which IQ dropped was matrix reasoning. And this is described as visual problem solving and analogies. These are the sorts of things, if you've ever taken IQ tests, all of these are in there. They give you logic and vocabulary. They give you visual problem solving. They give you analogies. This is to this as that is to that, right? And if, and it, they're fucking easy, by the way. When you take those tests, when you take those tests, they're so easy, in fact, that you almost go, it feels like a trap. It's so easy. It's like, dog is the cat, as you know what I mean? Like, it's really kind of, you know, and you go through it and you go, all right, this is what they're testing for. They're testing for, can you make, now, it's easy if you have the ability to understand what an analogy is. If analogies are kicking your ass, then the tests are kicking your ass. And considering that the IQ drop is in matrix reasoning, visual problem solving, that's the just look at something and you can see what's missing from it. It's like a car with three wheels. Which part does this car miss? Like, there's four choices. One is like a steering wheel. One is like a sunroof. And one is like a tire. And there's a car with three tires missing the fourth tire. And it's like, which one would you choose? Which is the missing piece? That is visual problem solving. Again, super easy unless you're dumb. When you're dumb, it's fucking impossible, right? It's not easy, right? It's the opposite of easy. It's a real challenge to figure out, do you put the steering wheel where the other wheel used to go? Because it also kind of looks like a wheel, and maybe you could drive, you know what I mean? Like, it's, for the dumb, it's a challenge. The third category in that dropped in IQ recently is called letter and number series. Okay. This is when you get on the test, it'll say like, complete the number in this series. And then the series starts off 1, 2, 4, 8, blank. Right. And you have to recognize what the pattern is, that the number's doubling every time. Right. And so the answer is 16. But then the choices they give you are 9, 10, 16, 18, whatever, right? So you go through that. And so those are number series. And this tests two things, computational and mathematical, okay? And this is destroying people, in part because of Common Core. In the United States, and this is part of, you know, it's not the only place that they were measuring IQs, but for America to see the drop in America and to recognize that one of the three categories has to do with mathematical, and you go, well, what's changed in the mathematical arena recently? Well, Common Core. Oh, you mean the math curriculum that says 3 times 4 could equal 11 as long as you can show your work? You mean that mathematical? Wait, we're having problems with our IQ and the computational and mathematical sector? Well, you don't say. Really, I wonder what's causing that. Common Core, Bill Gates, right? There's a Norwegian study in 2018 that showed that IQs are also going down. 400,000 people participated in this. There was also a study that was done from 2006 through 2018. So 14, if you count all the 15 year period, roughly, between the University of Oregon and Northwestern, also showed IQs going down. So question is, are they trying to make us stupid? Maybe. I mean, if you were trying to make us stupid, how would you do it any differently? You know, I mean, they're doing a great job. We've got Tavistock plotting against us, of course. They're, you know, let's make them great again. Social media, right? Mind control, short attention spans. We're in a TikTok world. You're trying to convince people to focus on reading comprehension when you've got TikTok. I mean, come on. Television. Let's not underestimate not just the content that comes out of the television, but the physical television itself. Low alpha waves from TVs and devices are hypnotic. They put you in a suggestive mood. It's the reason why they are the way they are. There's science behind the television. It's not just funny pictures going your way. It's the ways in which those images are delivered to your brain, the visual waves in which your brain receives them, and those low alpha waves put you in a very relaxed mood where all of a sudden you want that Taco Bell value meal because you're like, shit, I just, you know, like for whatever reason, I got a hankering for some Taco Bell, you know, and you're like, probably because you saw that the commercial three times during the game, you know, and it got stuck in there somehow. Hollywood is dumbing down the content so much now. Well, they frankly have to. You have to know your audience, right? Know your audience. And then there is Dunning-Kruger. Do you know what the Dunning-Kruger effect is? Dunning-Kruger means that you're too dumb to understand just how fucking stupid you really are, so you act like you're smart. It's dangerous and hilarious all at the same time. I mean, when you come across those people that you see them and you go, like politicians, prime example, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez is a perfect encapsulation of Dunning-Kruger. She's too stupid to realize how stupid she is. So she thinks and makes the assumption that she's really smart. And because she knows how to talk to people and people will listen to her for some reason. And so she is of the belief, she has convinced herself that she's smart. But in actuality, the things that come out of her mouth are so dumb that you just go, whoa, like, hang on a second. I don't think it's an act. I think she really thinks she's top of the food chain here. Intellectual horsepower wise, but in actuality, she's suffering from Dunning-Kruger. She's too dumb to know she's dumb. What a trick, huh? And it is hilarious if we're being honest, but boy, is it also frustrating, right? Beyond that, the Facebook and CIA, but I repeat myself, you know, they're curating our feeds in social media and our perceptions too. You know, so they want to make sure that you see stuff. I mean, you could have a situation where dumb people are doing dumb things in parts of the world that you'll never see, but social media can make it so that you see them. Not only do you see them once, you see them all the time. And pretty soon you're convinced that everybody's like that, right? You're just like, fuck, every time I turn on my feed, there's people fighting in a McDonald's. Is that what always happens at McDonald's? Every time I see Spring Break Miami, there's 75 black women pulling each other's hair on the beach fighting and everything. It's like, is that, I've been to Miami 10 times. I've never seen that. But if you go by social media, that's what Spring Break is. It's just fights on the beach constantly, right? So some of this is being curated for us. Some of us, we're being meant to see this, which is devious, right? That's a devious form of putting stupidity right in your face, right? And this is, we also have to talk about it, not just, you know, I mentioned schools, and we're going to get into this in a little bit here about SAT scores, and they're staggering, but which is for high school. It's the test you take in high school to determine what your standard aptitude test grade is. It gives you a point, you know, a number, and then that is used to justify you going to college and university. If you've got a high SAT score in conjunction with good grades and some extracurricular activities, you might be more appealing to a university that wants to bring you in if you apply to them. So, but that is another form of indoctrination, education, and stupidity all rolled into one. And this is where you find the arrogance of woke stupidity. It's a new flavor of dummies out there with like the Harvard diversity hire Claudine Gay, who was the president of the Harvard Foundation, something, I forget exactly what it was. Big job, right? Busted for being a complete fraud, plagiarizing almost all her work. She's an intellectual lightweight, masquerading as a smart person. She's suffering from Dunning-Kruger. She's too stupid to know that she's stupid. And she's been elevated because of her race, That's the only reason why Claudine Gay had that job is because of her race. She knows it. You know it. I know it. She's an imposter. She knows she's an imposter. Everybody knows she's an imposter, but everybody's playing the game of, we're not supposed to talk about this because it's going to sound racist, or it's going to be sexist, or it's going to be ableist, or this university has had white people in charge of it forever, so now it's payback. Fine, payback, fine. Put a black woman in charge of Harvard. I don't give a shit at all. But just do this. Just do this one thing for yourself, not even for me. Make sure that the black woman that you put in charge of Harvard to get back at all these honkies for a century of racism, just make sure that that person is above reproach. Because if she isn't, and she wasn't, they will come for her. And they'll never put another black woman in charge of Harvard again, because look what happened the last time around. Or maybe this is done on purpose. Let's not underestimate that, right? Oh, you want to have your woke lady run Harvard? Fine, we'll elevate this person. It's a time bomb waiting to go off. Just wait until she starts doing interviews and they start asking her questions, and then the interviewer halfway through goes, oh, I'm dealing with a retarded person on the other end of this. I'm dealing with somebody that shouldn't be in this position. It'll work itself out. So, you know, yeah. Getting plagiarized on multiple counts when you're supposed to be in that position for your merit, and you're shown to be there on anything but your merit, you're shown to be there simply because of the color spacesuit you're wearing. Well, you had that coming to you. So cultural stupidity, and there's that. That's impossible to quantify. That's, you know, Nicki Minaj music, the high fructose corn syrup of toxic entertainment, like Ice Spice singing about her ass and shit like that. I mean, it's like you watch this and you go, this is content for low IQ dummies. This is repetitive beats that have no chord changes in the music. This is music for idiots. It's music for dumb people. And you go, well, this can't be, is it accidental or is it intentional? No, it's intentional. It's intentional. You have been slated for destruction. The United States of America has been slated for destruction by any means necessary. But one of the best ways to do it is make sure that everybody is so stupid that they can't find their way out of this. So kids through school are taught what to think, not how to think. That's a huge problem. Critical thinking, not encouraged. Groupthink is. That's the only thing that's encouraged. Groupthink. Get this herd mentality going. Orwell and Huxley warned about this. They warned about this. They talked about this. Smart people have fewer kids. Higher proportion of less intelligent people are reproducing at a faster rate. It's bringing average IQs down. It's Idiocracy. It's the comedy movie Idiocracy at the very, very beginning, where it's the two like uptight white people that are like, well, we're thinking about maybe having kids, maybe sometime. And then there's like the white trash people who are like, honey, bringing the youngins in. And they've had like 9 kids and everything. So there is truth to that. There's 100% truth to that. And let me tell you what isn't helping. An influx of low-skill, low-IQ fighting-age males from countries that don't speak English being brought in to destabilize the country and used as, I don't know, maybe at some point human cannon fodder. There's not a bunch of engineers coming across the southern border, if you know what I'm talking about. They're not sending their best and brightest. A bunch of rapists. No, I'm just kidding. Let's talk about SAT scores. And we're going to talk about it by race. So we're not going to be measuring skulls. Don't worry about that. We're not going that far. And if you've got problems, take it up with the Brookings Institute, not me. I'm telling you what their studies showed. And listen, Brookings Institute is a notorious think tank. Okay, but they do have a ton of information. And I'm no fan of theirs. But they put this out, and I thought it was interesting to sort of take a look at what they discovered. Okay, so I need to explain how the SAT test works just for a second, because or just how it's measured. You take two tests in high school. At least you did when it's changed a little bit now. And now I think it's three tests, but this is how they did it. You have verbal and math. You are graded on a score. The highest score you can get on verbal is 800. The highest score you can get on math is 800. You add those together and that would give you a grand total. If you got a perfect SAT score, you would have a 1600 on the SAT, okay? That means that you didn't miss a single question. You're really fucking smart on taking tests. For putting your name on the test, you get 300 points. So it isn't a score from 0 to 800. It's a score from 300 to 800. That's really what it is. So now they broke this down. Brookings Institute went through their studies and found the average IQ for ethnicities. Again, if you got problems with these numbers, they're not my numbers, okay? and I can say this because I'm not at the top of the list on this one, okay? So it's not like I'm trying to stuff the ballot box in my favor. Number one on the IQ list, Asians. 106. By the way, when it comes to IQ score, 100 is the median, meaning you got, it's sort of like 100 is if you're above 100, you're trending in the right direction. If you're below 100, you're trending in the wrong direction. 80 is when you start to get into, like, if you're 80 and below, you're getting into a category that is, well, let me see. What is it exactly? It's not, you're not actually, 80, once you go below 80, you become what is termed cognitively impaired. Okay. Cognitively impaired. Asians, number one at 106. Whites, number two at 103. Latinos, number three on this list at 89. And blacks, number four on the list at 85. Okay. When they took the SATs, they looked at people that scored on the math tests, okay? They broke this down by math. And for the people, we're going to call this category really dumb. These are the people that got between 300, which is what you get for putting your name on the test, and 350, right? Out of a possible 800. These people are really dumb. If you get a 350 on the math of your SAT, you're not going to any college, okay? I assure you. You're not even going to community college. It's over. High school is the end. You might not even graduate high school. But of those in the math that scored in the really dumb category, of those people, 6% were Asian, 21% were white, 37% were Hispanic, 35% were black, okay? In the average category, took the math SAT, did okay, you're between 500 and 600. In the average category, Asians represented 11% of the people that were average, whites represented 63%, Hispanics represented 6%, and blacks represented 8% of average. Okay. Third, final category, really smart, 750 to 800. If you get an 800 on the math, if you get 750 to 800, you are going to a very, very good school. A very good school. Of the people that scored in the really smart category in math, 60% of them were Asian. 60% of the people that got the really, really high score were Asian. 6 out of 10. 33% were white. 1 out of 3. 5% were Hispanic. And only 2% were black. Okay. So like I said, save the comments, save the emails. I'm not the one saying this. Okay. This is what the numbers are showing. Okay. So within that, there's then a, well, let's do this. We'll do it by IQ rankings for countries, and this will probably make a little bit more sense as to how we got these. Okay, going off of that same measurement of 100 being sort of the average, not, I don't even know if it's the average, it might just be the median. But anyway, you want to, if you're at 100, you're good. If you're above 100, you're trending in the right direction. If you're below 100, you're going the wrong way. Number one on the list, Japan, 106.48. Number two, Taiwan, 106.47. Taiwan, you're almost there. You're a thousandth of a percent away from Japan. Number three, Singapore, 105.89. Number four, Hong Kong, 105.37. Number five, China, 104.10. Number six, South Korea, 102.35. This is the point in the reading of this in which you're starting to notice a pattern. Number seven, Finland. White people are finally on the list, checking in at seventh at 101.20. And number eight, Germany, 100.74. So the top six countries are all Asian. And that would make sense because the IQ rankings have them at 106. The really, really smart SAT scores are achieved by 60% of the people that get those high IQ scores are Asian. All of this is making sense. Do you want to know what's at the bottom? We've done this before, but I'll do it again. yikes. Again. Not my numbers. So if you're in these countries and you're listening to this, Panama, 79, Indonesia, 78.49, Palestine, 77.69, Saudi Arabia, 76, Jamaica, I'm just going to round down, Jamaica, 75, El Salvador, 69, Morocco, 67. Keep in mind, anything below 79 is cognitively impaired. 69, El Salvador. 67, Morocco. 51, Nepal. And 48, Guatemala. Not measuring skulls or anything, but there, you know, there's some places where, and again, there's a lot of factors, right? We talked about them. Food, shelter, education. Healthcare. This isn't genetics necessarily. It could be cultural. Listen, if you're in Nepal, you don't have any education at all, maybe. You know, or you know things, you know skills that other people don't have because you live in Nepal and you need those skills. So it's always a touchy subject when you start trying to measure people with IQ numbers, because it's not the easiest way and it's not the best way to quantify things. But this is one of the ways in which they've done it. So we're talking about it. Hey, for those of you in America, you want to know what the smartest states are? You want to know? Massachusetts is wicked smart. They always say they are. They're 104.3. They're the smartest people. New Hampshire, number two, 104.2. Oh, New Hampshire, you're almost there. All you Pork Fest free staters out there bringing that average up. North Dakota is number three at 103.8. Vermont is number four at 103.8. And Minnesota is number five on the list at 103.7. I think if we can determine anything from this, I think we have correlated that being cold makes you smart, because Massachusetts, New Hampshire, North Dakota, Vermont, and Minnesota, fucking cold places, man. Oh shit, I might be onto something, because you want to hear the five dumbest states? New Mexico, 95.7. Hawaii, 95.6. California, 95.5. Louisiana, 95.3. Mississippi, 94.2. They're all hot. It's weather related. We've figured it out, okay? We have figured it out. This is all because of climate change. No, I'm just kidding. By the way, the numbers that I gave you for the IQ, the 106 for Asians, 103 for whites, 89 for Latinos, 85 for blacks. I want to make sure I tell you where those came from. Those came from the National Longitudinal Survey of Youth, which sounds like you just made it up, right? And so I went to check what that is. And that is actually a component of the Bureau of Labor and Statistics Office. So it's an official U.S. Measuring group. It's got a funny name. And they've been measuring, you know, IQ came into being in 1912. So we've had 100 years to take a look at it. And look, this is what an IQ test does. It helps to measure cognitive abilities and intellectual abilities. And it helps to measure potential. But it doesn't measure your drive or focus, determination. There's a lot of intangibles that it doesn't measure. So you don't want to like, it's not the end all be all, right? It does measure potential, right? So if you're not going to hire the Guatemalan with the 47.72 IQ to work at Los Alamos, right? Sorry, it's just not going to happen. Take it up with the universe. Life isn't fair. But that, so it does in some cases kind of measure the range in which you could really max out and achieve something. But when you're starting in the 50s and you need that IQ to work it out Los Alamos to be in the 130s, it's too far of a gap, man. You're looking in the wrong place for people. So genetics accounts for anywhere from 50% to 80% of the IQ variation. Again, back to some of the variables that aren't genetically tied, which would be early childhood education, malnutrition, toxins, things like that we already talked about. Breastfeeding kids have a higher IQ than kids that are strictly on formula. Autism plays a role in lower IQs, and vaccines play a role in autism. Not every vaccine causes autism in every kid every time, but vaccines do cause autism in some kids sometimes. That's a fact. And if you think that I'm making this up or I'm anti-science, I'll tell you what. I can go get you a room, fill it with 20 mothers that took their children in for their 18-month or 24-month wellness visits, whose kids were totally fine, perfectly normal, had the ability to communicate with them freely, took them in, got them around to shots, and they became nonverbal from that point on. You tell those mothers that it's all in their head and that they're imagining things. Vaccines absolutely do contribute to autism. Period. End of story. It is a measurable observation. They just don't want you to believe that because there's so much money at stake with that. But I'll lock you in a room with a couple moms that I know. You tell them, good luck with that. You tell them that they're making it up. Oh, well, actually, you guys are wrong about this. I'm going to tell you, I know more about your kids than you. So, here's a good one. Here's a victory for us guys. Men tend to be about 3 to 5 IQ points higher than women. I knew it. I'm just kidding. But guess what? Young kids are scoring lower now. They're scoring lower now than they ever have. And listen, this is a bad time for them to be scoring lower as well, because I need to read to you what the World Economic Forum has just put out. This study that they did, and again, when the World Economic Forum is putting out studies, I treat that the same way I do as when Brookings Institute is putting out studies, right? I recognize who these people are, and I recognize that they have an agenda, and I recognize that not all of the things that they put out there I'm going to necessarily believe. But with regard to what the WEF put out, talking about artificial intelligence coming for jobs, they broke it down by 8 different categories, and they gave it a percentage score based on how likely artificial intelligence is coming for these jobs. Number one on the list, unsurprisingly, IT, right? 73% of the jobs in IT currently may be replaced, automated, done away with by the use of artificial intelligence. And by the way, artificial intelligence is a very vague term. I'm not going to get, we can do other shows on that. I'm going to have Alex Securus on. We're going to talk about artificial intelligence. He's got a new book that's out on it. So we can talk about that, about what that means later. But for the sake of this episode, when we're talking about education, just know this. It's already tough going through high school, and then maybe you don't go to college. I mean, college is changing a lot now, but it used to be you'd go through high school, you'd go to college, and that way you'd get a job so that you weren't working the fry machine at McDonald's your entire life. Well, guess what? The fry machine job at McDonald's is going away. Okay, robots will be doing that job. So this is the wrong time for IQ levels to be going down for kids, because it's at the same time the percentage of AI taking their jobs is increasing. So IT is number one on the list at 73%. Number two is finance at 70%. It used to be that you'd go to your university, get yourself a degree in finance, and then go get a job on Wall Street. Well, good luck, because 7 out of 10 of those jobs are going to be taken by computers. Next on that, customer sales, 67%. 2 out of every 3 salespeople are going to be replaced. That's not good. Operations, 65% replacement possibility. HR, 57%. Marketing, 56%, legal, 46%, and lastly on this list, supply chain, 43%. Anything that can be automated, right? The WEF looked at 19,000 different tasks across 867 occupations, and they put this out in September of 2023, and they showed that anywhere from 43% to 73% of the jobs inside these industries were going to be going away. Not exactly a great time to be graduating a bunch of dummies onto the market. Let's keep going. So when we were talking about IQ, I'm going to give you the number ranges and then the percentage of how many people in the world are in this category. Let's start right in the middle with average. Okay. Anything from, I said 100 is average, right? So 90 to 110, that 20 IQ point swing in between that is labeled as average. That holds 51.6% of the people. About half the people in America that you interact with are of average IQ. 51.6. It's close enough to round it and say 50%. 50%, right? Drop one category down to below average. And instead of it being a 20-point window, we're now only talking about a 10-point window, right? It's anything in the 80s. If you're in the 80s, if you're shooting in the 80s, you are below average, and you are 15.7% of the population, okay? So about 1 in 6 people, right, are average. Below average, you know, just smart enough to work the machines, as Carlin says, right? You then drop down below that into cognitively impaired. And this is like shooting in the 70s, which is great if you're playing golf, not great if you're playing IQ. And the cognitively impaired, this is 6.4%. Okay. So when you add up these two bottom categories, the below average and the cognitively impaired, you wind up with a number that is about 22%. So 2 out of every 9 people that you run across are below average or just functionally stupid. 2 out of every 9 people in every movie theater that you're in every restaurant that you're in, 2 out of every 9 people are struggling. Those people are going to be replaced by robots at some point. They're not bringing anything complicated to the table that can't be replicated. Given enough time, it might take 10 years or so, but you've got education, you've got artificial intelligence software programs that are teaching themselves how to learn things and pulling. I mean, it's an arms race. And if you're at anywhere from 89 IQ, an 89 IQ down to 70, you're going to lose the arms race. You're going to get replaced by robots probably by 2030. You've got 5 good years left. Then you're toasted. That group in the middle, that 90 to 110 average, the one that's right around 50%, you might not get replaced by actual robots. You know, because you've got a robot working the fry machine. You don't need somebody with 74 IQ working the fry machine who can't get on the bus and had a fight with his girlfriend, forgot to show up for his shift. And you know, you don't need any of that. you just get rid of those people and replace them with robots, right? That this is the way they think, of course. I'm not advocating for this, but I'm just saying this is the calculation that will be made by somebody who's in the higher IQ, the very gifted category, who's going to make this calculation. He's going to look in a spreadsheet and go, it just doesn't pencil out to have these people anymore. It's just for what we're trying to do, it doesn't work. But everyone in that average category, that 50%, you're probably not going to get replaced by an actual robot, but a component of your job is more than likely going to get replaced by artificial intelligence. We just went over the stats for the categories and that they're taking jobs from. Tell me if you could find yourself, if you would consider these jobs to be jobs that average people have. HR, sales. I was in sales. There's no shame in that. Supply chain. I would put IT, finance, and legal probably in a higher category, but I have a marketing degree. There's nothing that you can't replicate with marketing people. They're totally disposable, which is why they pay them shit when they work at advertising agencies, because there's a million of them and you can get them. They don't bring anything unique to the table. So supply chain, marketing, HR, operations, customer sales, those people, all those tasks are getting replaced by artificial intelligence. They're the ones that are in this average category. So you better be smart, or you better have some sort of marketable skills. Now, interestingly, the way these rankings sort of unfold, where you've got the average at right around 51.6%, below average was 15.7, above average, also 15.7. Cognitively impaired, 6.4%. Gifted, also 6.4%. So it's funny how they lay out. There is one other category that doesn't get mentioned. By the way, so above average intelligence is anything from 111 to 120. That's 15.7%. So you've got, you know, They're smarter than the average bear. Then you've got gifted, which is 121 to 130. That's the 6.4%. That offsets the cognitively impaired. So for every real dumb person you've got one really gifted person as well, or I should say, just plain gifted. Because then the next category, that's above 130, that is very gifted. That's called very gifted. And of the very gifted class, there is only 2.1%. So two out of every 100 people that you interact with is going to be in the very gifted category. If you add the gifted to that, to very gifted, you wind up with a total of 8.5. So 8.5% of the people you're going to interact with, pretty smart. But 22% of the people that you interact with are going to be either below average or cognitively impaired. So this is kind of what we're dealing with. And I think it's, I just think it's interesting to take a look at this. And this comes from the Riesing and Block chart. All right. Those are two scientists that made the IQ chart. Now, again, I don't think IQ is the end all be all of measuring intelligence. In fact, I think there's a lot of big flaws with it. You know, I think it doesn't measure quite a bit of things. But again, it doesn't also proclaim to. It's just a tool. It's a diagnostic tool. So you figure out, like, okay, where do you fit on this chart and category? It's not to say you can't move up. It's not to say you can't have a great life. You could be cognitively impaired, meaning stupid, and be, you know, and have the number one selling album in the country and be making a lot of money and be like, well, you know, I must be doing something right. Yeah. I mean, okay, if getting rich is the thing that you wanted to do, congratulations. It turns out you're pretty good at getting rich. You can be stupid and rich at the same time. There's nobody saying that you can, and you can be really smart and poor, you know? So all these things are, they're variables. They change. But if you're just looking at this objectively, cold-heartedly, like in a laboratory, these are the numbers. This is what it says. When it talks about race, this is what it says. And again, you know, we're not out in the deserts in Egypt measuring skulls with the Nazis, trying to figure out, you know, who's got the bigger brain and therefore who's the master race. We're not, certainly not doing any of that stuff. But we're talking about what science has discovered. And one of the things that we came across, and this goes back to that kind of where we started, where we're talking about people that don't have an internal monologue. There's a term called aphantasia. It's an inability to create mental images. Now, you might have seen this. You wouldn't recognize that name, that aphantasia, but you might recognize the test to see if you've got it or not. It's not a test. It's just an image. It shows five pictures, and it's a drawing. It's five heads of a person, and inside the head, in picture number one, there's a full apple. In picture number five, there is no apple at all. And in pictures two, three, four, the apple is getting a little bit more transparent as you go from five to four to three to two to one. And what they're trying to show is that there is a sliding scale of people who can create mental images and hold them in their head. And not everybody can do that. And the people that can't do that, they have aphantasia, which means they can't do it. They found that those people they're not dumb. They just think differently. They did find that they share a lot of the same markers as people with autism, high functioning autism. So it is there's a lot to know about education, memory, IQ. There's a lot undiscovered. This is going to be something that I think people are going to have to, it's an evolving science, and there's a lot more to learn. And listen, of course, the inability to visualize something could be a real problem. My thoughts on this is if you're unable to visualize that you're dumb or anything like that, my thoughts are I want as many abilities as possible. I don't want to be without an ability. And so I don't want to be without the ability to visualize something. I don't want to be without an inner monologue. I want all those things. I'd like the ability to turn them off if I need to, but I want to at least have the option for that ability to have an internal monologue and to visualize things. Hell, you know, a lot of times people are like, you got to visualize it before. Fuck, we've got people out there that don't have an ability to visualize things. What do you tell them? You have to tell them something different, right? They have to come at this from a different angle. So some of this education, you know, and listen, the education system in America is designed to be bad, okay? You take a poorly constructed education system that is responsible for teaching a certain way of thinking, definitely not teaching you how to think. You add in all these other environmental and external factors, diet, sociological things, parents in the house, parents in prison. Maybe you speak multiple languages. Maybe you learn how to play the violin when you're a kid. All of these things matter, right? They go into to this. So, and listen, when you talk about this inability to visualize, I mean, it's not great that the person that invented the concept of it was Francis Galton back in 1880, because when you know who Francis Galton is, you know that he was a famed in air quotes, eugenicist, right? Who wanted to thin out the herd. So a lot of these people had sort of a racist basis for making the leap that they made when they're talking about some of this. Now, the inability to visualize with Francis Galton, I don't know that that had anything necessarily to do with race. I'm sure he found a way to work it in there somehow, because they really desperately wanted to get rid of anybody that wasn't white. We know that. So again, if we're being honest, we have to acknowledge that there are some racial biases that are dragged in. Now, how do you quantify and measure that? I don't know. Is Brookings Institute inherently racist? Probably. If I'm being honest, probably. I envision the board of directors at Brookings Institute to look like a white devil convention, and it probably is. So none of these things are perfect. That's what I'm getting at. And you don't have to be defined by statistics, right? You can you you
you know, you when you look at the categories and you go, oh, 60% of the people that scored in the really smart SAT range of 750 to 800, 60% are Asian. Does that mean that all Asian people score high on that? No, it does not. So again, back to where we started. If you can't understand the concept of hypotheticals and averages, you're probably not in the really smart category of people that got the 750 or the 800 on math, because these concepts are maybe too advanced for you. So one thing I will say about all of this that is less, that is a variable that has been thrown in. You could have all of these factors working in your favor. You can be a white man or a white kid born into a two-parent household in New Hampshire, right, where they've got high IQ, that goes to private schools your entire life, gets a great education, takes two COVID shots and two booster shots, and now you're fucked intellectually. You won't be able to remember where you put your car keys, can't remember what you did, who you were talking to last week. You can do everything right and still screw this up. That's my point. And I think that the people that have, and you can be so smart that that you don't even recognize that you're being propagandized to. And that's where we go. And inversely, you could be somebody that grew up in the ghetto that didn't have any advantages at all. It didn't even really get a very good education. Been out on the streets hustling and everything. But you know people. You interact with people. You've been interacting with people your entire life. Scammers and con artists and this type of person. You're in the big city and you've met all kinds of people. And you recognize bullshit when you see it, right? Now, you're not going to score very high on these SAT scores because you didn't have all the other stuff. But you're smart enough to know when somebody's lying to you. And maybe you didn't take any of the shots because you knew that cracker Fauci was full of shit, right? So who's smart in this situation? You know what I mean? This is subjective and it's never ending, right? You're going to be making these calculations until the day you die. So you can do everything right and make one bad miscalculation when it comes to trusting the wrong person, lose your life savings. Trust the wrong doctor, lose your health. So be very careful wandering around thinking look at how smart I am. You know what I mean? The minute you start talking about how smart you are, boy, I'll tell you, you're asking for trouble. Hey, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family. If you want to connect with me, the website is macroaggressions.io. That's the best place to find me. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.